And we have to be ready for that. And it's with this foresight that the elders of Dunning Park Bible Chapel made changes to our doctrinal statement and bylaws, with our approval, of course, concerning marriage. And we have to do that today. You know, we've always wanted to be close in spirit to the New Testament in the early church, but we may now be able to physically relate to them more than we ever expected because of churches get prosecuted. And we can resist that today. You know that constitutionally this cannot happen in groups such as the Alliance Defending Religion and ACLJ and other organizations will defend churches and Bible studies and that. But persecution is coming at multiple levels. And we as Christians need to be very much aware that our mortal enemy is Satan. It's not the people that he uses as prisoners to do his will. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whose case the god of this world has blinded the eyes of the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan has deceived people. And people blend this worldly philosophy, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware of the philosophy of this world. They blend it with the scriptures and try to come up with this amalgamation that's wrong. It's wrong. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, you'll see that you and I were once numbered among them. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, reached out to us." People were praying for us. People shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Colossians, we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We escaped that because we believed on the Lord Jesus. We left the kingdom of Satan, no matter how passively we were involved, and entered the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And we must be praying that the Lord will open their eyes, and we must be ready to share the gospel when the opportunity comes. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart." We may very well be the first letters of Christ that people see, that people read. And it influences how they look at Christ, how they look at God. And we've got to take this seriously, and we've got to be praying. And God works. When we pray that someone's eyes be opened to the truth of the gospel, people believe. I think this week of Amy's brother, who was dying of lung cancer. He did not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and Amy put out a prayer request that we pray for him. And the pastor of one of the local churches was able to lead him to Christ, and he went to be with the Lord yesterday, was it? Friday, he went to be with the Lord. So we have to be ready. You know, we in ourselves are weak. We can't convince people to come to Christ. So strong is the blindness from the kingdom of Satan. But through prayer, according to John Piper, has this great quote, "Prayer is the open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves to God and the confidence that he will provide the help we need. Prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as wealthy. And we need to get a handle on that as we battle in this world to represent Christ as the children of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom is the sphere of influence where Christ rules. And when the Lord was standing before Pilate, you remember, Pilate said, "You're a king." And the Lord Jesus said, "Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. Because if it was, my servants would come and fight for me. But where he rules now is within us who have believed. For we have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies." And part of how we glorify God, we're going to talk about today, by being salt and light in the world. And everything we do has to be bathed in prayer. Because the power is not from us. The power is from the Lord. It is he who is working in us. We have to have the attitude of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "I must decrease, but he must increase." We have to submit to the Lord Jesus in our lives. So last week, Brother Bob led us into Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read the first few verses of that again. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your God," or praise your Father in heaven. We must remember that the Sermon on the Mount is not telling us how to be saved. This is not how to be saved. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by what we do. We don't come into God's kingdom because we make ourselves good enough. We come into God's kingdom because we're sinners. And we've cried out to God for help. We've realized that we're born, as we read earlier, children of wrath. Of disobedience. The wrath of God literally abides over us. And if we die in this way, we die without Christ, and the lake of fire is our ultimate destiny. But God, being rich in mercy, sends someone to you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accept that you're a sinner. You turn from your sin to God, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become a child of God. You become a child of the kingdom. You become someone who is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And as one under the lordship of Jesus Christ, You are sent out into the world as an ambassador, as a letter, with a message to reconcile the world to Christ by sharing the good news of the gospel. And you develop, you should grow in a character to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because according to Romans chapter 8, that's what God is doing. He's conforming you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ look like? Look at the Sermon on the Mount. This is the type of character that as ambassadors and as servants of Christ that we should have. We should be people who mourn over their sins, who are poor in spirit. We need to be people who realize that this flesh, there's something wrong with it, and it's got to go. It's got to go. There's a great struggle. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit battles the flesh. Even the great apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" And he looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the time would come that he would be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and this battle will be over. But he knew, really like we know, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, but maybe it's better that we be here right now for ministry. They're challenged to be gentle or meek. They're challenged in the Beatitudes to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in the Word, to be absorbing, to be, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy, to take pains with these things, with the ministry, with living the Christian life, with serving Christ. It's something we have to take pains with. We have to work at. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to take hold of eternal life. We have to be serious about this. This is the life that we have, and this is the life that we live in the world, though we may have many different vocations. God calls us to work at Ford, or he may even change us to go from Ford to another company. Those of you who are my age, probably, and older, know that there's no job that's going to last forever. You know, one day, profits may be low, and you may have to go. That's just the way it is in the world. But that doesn't affect who we are. We can make tents somewhere else because we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. We're fathers. We're mothers. That's what God's called us to be. That's what we have to take seriously. We're called to be merciful, even as God is merciful. Because we're poor in spirit, we know our weakness. And if we're good priests of God, we should be able to understand how people feel, and take our experience and use that to minister, to bring people to Christ. We're challenged to be peacemakers, sons of God, as Bob reminded us. We're called not to appease, but we're called to reconcile man and God by bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring healing in relationships. If we can, we're called to be pure in heart. Things that we battle with. Billy Graham said, "Being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It's like a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ." So certainly we become frustrated because many times it seems we're taking two steps forward and three steps back, and oh, wretched man that I am. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we keep going. We keep going, knowing that the Holy Spirit, who's given to us as a pledge and as a promise, is going to present us before the Father. And we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So as servants of the King, these are the character traits that we have to have in our lives. And this is really the skeleton. You need to go into the New Testament to build upon this. This is very, very basic, but it's very real. And this is really what it comes down to, the type of people that we need to be as we represent Christ in the world, as we become salt and light in the world. And we know that salt, before refrigeration, was used for preservation of meat. And that's so it wouldn't rot, that it wouldn't stink, that it wouldn't make us sick and die. Okay? But it also speaks of influence. You know, the salt influences the meat not to rot. Okay? Well, we are brought into this world as Christians to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with a great message that's going to bring people to Christ, that's going to change people to become servants of God and to do the good works, which according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we were created to walk in. And as we begin to do those, we make a difference in the world. John MacArthur tells the story of Woodrow Wilson in a barber shop one day. Woodrow Wilson, before he was president, I believe, said, "I was in a very common place. I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut and sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic," remember Woodrow Wilson was a professor, right? But that just means teaching, "showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. Before I got through with what was being done for me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. D.L. Moody was in that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barbershop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew that something had elevated their thought, that something had elevated their thoughts. I felt that I left that place as I should have left the place of worship. My admiration and esteem for Mr. Moody became very deep indeed." We're not all called to be evangelists as D.L. Moody was, but they didn't know he was an evangelist. And certainly we all have different personality types. Some of us are more gregarious than others, and others are more subdued. Some are more extroverted, some are more introverted. But no matter what you are, what God created you to be with your gifts and your talents, you have an influence in the world. And we influence the people that we know, most of all our families, but also the people we work with. There should be some knowledge that we're Christians. We don't have to be in everyone's face all the time about it, but people should be aware. And hopefully, people realize, and it makes a difference for them. You know, at work, one of the things that I'm commonly asked to do by some people, at least, is to pray, because they know I'm a Christian, and they know that I'll pray for them. And many of you, if we brought you up here, you would have the same testimony as well, that people talk to you and maybe ask you to pray or maybe ask advice. And that's you being salt in the world. That's you representing Jesus Christ. We all have different gifts. Some are called to speak before hundreds of, you know, before tens of thousands, and others are called to speak to one or two. No matter what the case may be, you're being salt in the world. And salt produces, the fact that we're salt, as we express our faith, we're doing good works which bless others in James chapter 2. So our work as salt and light in this world is not only to share the gospel, but like the Lord Jesus, we affect people physically as well. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, he came with the gospel, but he also affected the people that he came in contact with. He healed the sick. He brought sight to the blind. He opened up the ears of the deaf. He fed the hungry. And in the same way, we do that as well. The early church was salt and light in the world. You can see it beginning in the book of Acts in chapter 6. The widows. What do we do with the widows? Well, we raise up these deacons and we collect money and we feed the poor. You see the Apostle Paul, concerned for the saints in Jerusalem, raising money throughout the world, the Roman world, and going back and presenting the gifts before the apostles. And I'm sure it wasn't only the church that benefited from this ministry. And so it was in the Roman world as well. It was the Christians who were going in and taking orphans. It was Christians who were going in and helping out women who were being forced by their husbands to have abortions. It was Christians who were caring for the sick that were out in the street. And within 300 years, the Roman Empire became what? Christian. You know, we may disagree with the efforts of Constantine in some way, but he named the name of Christ. And that influence came not because of the power of Christ's armies. It wasn't because Peter not only cut off the ear of Malchus and he didn't slay anyone, did he? Nor did the kingdom of God grow in such a way to defeat people militarily. But by love, by being salt and light in the world, by affecting the lives of people like you and I affect people today. The MOPS ministry. Do people come to Christ? Do ladies come to Christ through MOPS? Are ladies' families blessed as a result of MOPS? How about Sunday school? How about Vacation Bible School? How about Sunburst and Stockade? How about our toddler ministry? We have Vacation Bible School coming up. Sign up if you're free during that week. And you'll be salt and light. And this is a way we bring people into the kingdom. We influence people. This is how it's always gone. There was a great article in Christianity Today defending missionaries. You can look it up online. It was about the Congo. And maybe some of you read it, but missionaries receive a bad rap nowadays. But when you dig into what missionaries do, you see that these people were bringing in medical help. They were ministering peace. They were peacemakers between tribes. They stood up against slavery. They went to England and got them to change their policies in Africa. Missionaries have had are a great force for good in the world. We know that. But Satan has a way of skewing that message. And we have to be aware of that. We're also called to be light in the world. What does light do? Light attracts. Like we said earlier, because we're light in the world, people know that we're Christians. People can come to us and ask us to pray. Or they can even send messages like I got last night from somebody I know who said, you know, I just don't know how I can come to God. And I was able to share the gospel with them through Facebook Messenger. There's many different ways to share Christ, to be light in the world. And our good works, they magnify and they point toward Christ. You know, in this dark world where the poor and the diseased are despised, they knew that help could be found with Christians. The light of Christ shining through faith produced good works that brought many to Christ. And so it is today. So it is with you. But we need to keep in mind, as we studied a bit last week, yes, light attracts, but sometimes it attracts persecution as well. And as we talked about earlier, what we're beginning to see in the United States is the experience of Christians throughout the world. Look what's going on in Pakistan. Maybe you heard about the 14-year-old boy who was approached on the street and asked if he was a Christian, and he said yes. And they proceeded to ignite him. These horror stories are all through that 1040 window, the Middle East, where once there were millions of Christians in the Middle East. Read Philip Jenkins' book on the subject. I was totally unaware that there were so many Christians in the Middle East at one time. But they were wiped out. You had the Mongol invasion, you had Islam and all that, and now there's just a few lights comparatively shining for the Lord Jesus. But they're shining. They're shining, and we in the West are gaining encouragement from their light. And our light is not to be hidden. Our ministry should not be hindered by fear and sin, which would hide the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be aware. We need to make, as you know, Bob Johnston would always remind us, we need to keep close accounts with God. You know, because sin has a way of dimming our light. And we need to be aware of that. They were to be a city set on a hill, not only in their lives, but their congregations. It's more important, more and more important, that we be people of character, holiness, as the Lord outlined in Beatitudes. You know, when Christians get dragged down, the world has more confidence in their arguments. See, you're just like us. You Christians get divorced. It's a horrible thing, and it happens to innocent people. But it happens, so why can't we gay people get married? We have to be aware. We have to be aware. And the challenge for us, as we're in this battle, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, is not to grow weary in well-doing. It's to stay focused on the Lord Jesus. Galatians 6:9. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. And it's easy. It's easy because, as we said, while the light attracts, it attracts the wrong kind sometimes too. And that wears us down. That wears us down, along with the weights and responsibilities of the world. You remember the parable of the sower? How much seed never grows because of the weight of the world. Getting our eyes off of Christ. That's the great value of coming to church. It's a great value of coming to the Lord's Supper, because it's a time to re-examine ourselves, and it's a time to refocus on the Lord Jesus. It's a time, as Jubal's leads us at 11:15, in worship. And then we come under the sound of God's word, and we can go out refreshed if we've done it properly. If we're able to push out the world and focus in on Christ. You know, in this great war that's going on, the weapons of the world are not going to help us. The weapons of Peter didn't bring anybody to Christ, but following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, being pure in heart, being merciful, being meek, being gentle, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. This turned the world upside down in Acts chapter 17. It turned the Roman world upside down. It's turning the world upside down today in some places. Why are Christians being persecuted? Because Christians are making a difference. Because they're salt and light. And Satan doesn't like that. And Satan's trying to exterminate that. Our weapons are heavenly. Prayer. The Word of God. The full armor of God. Defensive. except for the sword of the Spirit and prayer, but defensive, telling us we need to protect our minds, bring every thought into captivity, the breastplate of righteousness, guard your heart, being girded with the loins of truth, have your feet shod for the preparation of sharing the gospel, being ready to go where God wants us to go. These are the weapons and the armor that we have. And if we use them, God will work. We may not see in the midst of battle, we may not see God working. But you know, maybe later you'll hear, certainly before God, you will hear. Take time and read that in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the full armor of God and doing battle to rescue those whom Satan has deceived. Work to protect your hearts and minds. Be on the alert. Be ready for battle because you're influencing people and you need to influence people. Your light needs to shine brightly. My light needs to shine brightly. The salt of my life, my conversation has to be seasoned with salt, as it says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Because these are the ways that God brings people in. And we're all different. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all do the same things. And we're not here to conform people to what we think is right. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He reaches people so many different ways, through avenues we wouldn't even think of. And we don't hinder the work of God here. So be on the alert. Be sober. Shine as light in the world. Be salt. And you'll see exciting things. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we just thank you for our Lord Jesus. He's called us to this ministry, to use the gifts and the talents to reach people in this world. And we know, Father, we're not worthy. And we know we need to be poor in spirit. We need to mourn, Father. And then we'll find comfort in you. We'll find satisfaction as we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Help us, Father, we pray, by your Spirit, that we would shine as light in this world, that we would be salt. We just thank you now, Father. We pray your blessing this afternoon. We think of the ladies' ministry that's going on this afternoon. We pray many would come out for prayer, our Father, for there is a lot of urgent prayer. Work mightily, we ask, as in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Meeting is ended.